and at the heart of that stage stands a giant bottle. Rabelais once gave the world his divine bottle, overflowing with wine and laughter, pronouncing its great oracle, "Trinch, drink." Mine is the opposite. The bottle of Madagascar is hopelessly empty, a carcass of abundance. In Hebrew, it is called bakbuk, a word that rumbles hollow like the vessel itself. And curiously, Rabelais himself named his bottle the same. Around such a vessel, the people still dance, because that is what humanity always does. It worships the container even after the content is long gone. And when even the bottle cannot satisfy, another vision comes. The little folk who eat themselves. They are not monsters from outside, but caricatures of us. Parables of societies that, finding no nourishment in the world, turn on their own substance. They devour themselves ceremonially, not out of hunger, but out of need for meaning. This is how utopias collapse. What begins as an overflowing feast becomes a grotesque banquet of self-destruction. Where Rabelais imagined abundance leading to laughter, here absence breeds a theater of self-consumption. The community dissolves by its own hand, and the crowd calls it joy. All this belongs to the tradition of carnival and grotesque, but inverted. Carnival once promised renewal through laughter, through the world turned upside down. My Madagascar keeps the laughter, but strips it of joy. A laughter that covers emptiness, a carnival that mocks itself, a grotesque where the only feast left is the feast of self-destruction. The plushling wanders into this anti-carnival, into this parody of abundance, and insists on remaining gentle. Because even in a carnival of ruin, there must be one stubborn witness who refuses to harden. If this book seems sometimes playful and sometimes too bitter, that is how memory is. If it leans toward tenderness, it is because tenderness is the only clean revenge I know how to take on all that ugliness. This is the story I carried with me through borders and drafts and gas masks. I offer it now, plain and unvarnished, as a confession and as an invitation. Let us imagine a world where being gentle is not a crime. Adventures of the Plushling Bear on Madagascar. In a land where snow was more familiar than asphalt, an evening shimmered with sparks that creaked and smelled suspiciously like frost, there it was cozy inside fur mittens and scarves, in a snug winter spacesuit. Only the nose knew the true hostility of the world outside, and so the nose was the first to fall off. The plushling bear was alone. Ah, but that was nothing unusual. Everyone is alone, even on the bus. True, there were other living souls about, mostly doggos, howlers, and vipers. They all looked alike, despite their different breeds. Doggos and howlers wore snake skins. Vipers and doggos bared their enormous teeth, while howlers and vipers prowled together, loving no one, scattering their seeds and priding themselves on their pragmatism. At first, they had no respect for the plushling at all, mostly because he lacked all these essential accessories. They probably beat him up, seeing as how he never wanted to go to school in the mornings. Still, the plushling had a big mama, large, warm, terrifying when she scolded, yet tender when she soothed. She was all the more beloved for one particular kindness, helping the plushling with the most exquisite matter of philosophy, the duck with apples. A substance so alluring, but as all philosophers eventually discover, always ends too soon and without the right to ask for seconds. New Year's came and went, first noisy with the sharp, bright smells of tangerines, then still noisy, but without the smell, and finally silent, without scent or sound, until all that remained was a lonely sausage with beer, in a land where the very idea of a new era was outlawed.